You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
Galatians 5, 16 to 17. I should really test you on this verse at the very end of it, eh? So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. We're talking good fruit in this season. And not so long ago, I was standing on the side of the sideline of my youngest son, Rocky's football game. Rocky was playing. This is 10-year-old in-house, down at Meadowlands football game. And at this age, it's all about having fun, giving it a go, developing good sportsmanship. There's no cup to win. There's no championship to become the top of or to go after. No one's keeping track of the wins and the losses. It's just 10-year-old football, guys. Just 10-year-old football. My oldest son, Judah, is reffing the game. He's a 13-year-old ref. He's sort of like first season reffing. He's really only there to help his brother out, and because mum and dad made him come along, it's just a 13-year-old ref doing 10-year-old football. Now, there was one particular team that we played a few different times throughout the course of the season, and in this particular team, there was a particular hot coach who used to do particular things, and I think perhaps he forgot that it was 10-year-old football. And because of his drive and his passion for the game, I'm sure, he would often become overly involved, I will put it that way, overly involved on the field. He would sometimes get right in amongst the game and interfere a little bit with the players. He would march on the field and off the field, which was, by the way, breaking some of the rules of the game. And it was a little bit frustrating for those of us on the sideline to watch, but I was okay. I was okay with just letting it slide until this coach began to undermine and criticize loudly the ref, who happened to be this mother's 13-year-old son. And right there on the sideline, it happened. The internal battle between my flesh and my spirit. The flesh in me wanted to give him a piece of my mind, but the spirit in me knew that a calm, gracious conversation at the end of the game would be the more Christian way of approaching the matter. And as the game went on, so did the war between my flesh and my spirit. Flesh one way, spirit the other. A tug of war, you might like to say. One way, pulling me the other. And on that day, on the side of that 10-year-old football field, this mother was 100% led by her flesh. I may have lost my cool just a little, and I walked right over there, wagged my finger at him, and in no uncertain terms told him he needed to back off. You guys know what it's like. It's the battle between the flesh and the spirit, and sometimes the flesh just wins out. We don't want it to. And Galatians 5 tells us to be led by the Spirit, right? But it's hard, isn't it? It's not always easy. But the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and patience, and it's kindness, and goodness, and it's faithfulness, and gentleness, and it's self-control. See, we're all on this learning journey. We are all on our pathway to becoming more and more led by the Spirit. And the fruit that I want to look at today is faithfulness. See, in connection with the Holy Spirit, God wants to grow this fruit in us, the fruit of faithfulness. And so what does that look like? I've got three things that I'm going to put to you today. Number one, it starts with conviction. Faithfulness starts with a conviction. If you are going to be faithful with anything, it actually must begin with you having a conviction about it. Now, There are some times when Steve and I have a little argument. Now, I know this, I know, it doesn't happen very often because I'm pretty much perfect, but listen, it happens sometimes. And as we discuss these things, I am passionately sticking to my argument. I believe in it. I am so fully convinced on my stand on this matter that I am debating my perspective, my justification, my reasoning with great gusto. I am sticking to my guns. I will not back down. And then sometimes, just sometimes, only on occasion, it suddenly dawns on me mid-argument that I may in fact be slightly unreasonable. Probably just need to have a nap or something to eat. But do I, at that point, upon realization, give in? No way. Every woman in the room is shaking her head. No way. In fact, I dig in deeper. I will not give in. Not today. I think it's safe to say no other wife in the room does that, so husbands, don't go getting any ideas. But here's the thing about faithfulness. Faithfulness is defined by having a conviction of truth or belief. It means that you have a conviction about God, about our salvation, about a conviction about Christ and who He is. And to have a conviction is to be so convinced of that truth that you are not willing to let it go. You are not willing to walk away. You are not willing to give in. Faithfulness must start with a conviction. Without conviction, faithfulness becomes much more difficult. And today, more so than ever, we must know our convictions. We have to know our convictions about our foundational beliefs about God. We have to know our convictions about our beliefs about life, about church, about marriage, about parenting. We've got to know our convictions about money and relationships and family and prayer and sexuality and identity. We must know our convictions because building a life without convictions is like building a house without a framework. Without a framework of that house, when things get tough, when storms begin to come, when the winds get a little bit stronger or the rain gets a little bit stronger, if a house does not have a secure framework, it will begin to crumble around you. And the same is true when it comes to our beliefs and our convictions. If we do not have strong convictions, then when things get tough, when questions are asked of that house, when we begin to prod and poke a little bit, without convictions, it will begin to crumble away. And marriage is a great example of the importance of a house built on convictions because marriage is hard, isn't it? It's full of ups and downs. Some seasons in marriage are much harder than other seasons in marriage, but you don't give up. You don't give up. You stick with it. You stick through the most difficult seasons and you stick with it in all seasons. Why? Because there's a conviction. There's a conviction. You started with a conviction that you love your spouse, a conviction that you are better together, a conviction that God brought you together and what God brings together, no man will separate. You remain faithful. Why? Because you have a conviction. What are your convictions about church? I believe that church is the hope of the world. I believe that this is where, not just me, but where my children will best grow. I believe that this is a place where I can use and grow and develop in the gifts that God has placed on my life. I believe that a Sunday service in church is one of the greatest tools of evangelism today. Because of these convictions, I remain faithful. I remain faithful because I believe in the community of believers coming together, growing and supporting one another. Even if I don't feel like it, I remain faithful. Even if it's hard, I remain faithful. Even if there's something else going on down the road, I remain faithful. What are your convictions about parenting? I believe I am to raise my boys in the Word of God, even if I yell at people on the side of football fields. I believe that parents are first teachers. I believe that children need and like boundaries. I believe that children are a gift from God. And so I parent based on my convictions. I parent faithfully based on my convictions. What are your convictions about God? They matter. They matter. I believe that God is a holy God. I believe that He is faithful. I believe that He created the universe. I believe that He is God Almighty. I believe that He is one true God. I believe that He sent His Son to die on the cross. I believe in the Trinity. I believe that God is good in all things. God is good. And because of these convictions, I actually live faithfully. I live faithfully for God, even when I have questions, even when I have doubts, even when the season is hard, I can live faithfully because I have convictions. Our conviction reminds us to remain faithful despite adversity. Faithfulness requires a conviction. It starts with a conviction. And upon that conviction, we build another layer. And the other layer that comes after conviction is commitment. Faithfulness is about commitment. Faithfulness has to be deliberate. It has to be deliberate. Faithfulness is not a feeling. It is a decision. We don't wake up in the morning and think, you know, I'm feeling faithful today. I'm feeling faithful. No. In fact, faithfulness manifests with a show of commitment despite how we are feeling. It is almost the opposite to a feeling. If we are going to be faithful to something, it is going to take not just a conviction, but it's going to take a deliberate decision to commit to that thing. I do not go to the gym. But for a long time, I had a membership at City Fitness. I was a faithful sponsor, but not a faithful attender. In fact, Steve often said of my being a gym member is that my gym membership was like having a third sponsor child. We paid our $40 a month and got regular updates. I also joined, last year I joined Reformer Pilates. It's the fancy Pilates, you know, on the movable platform. But of that, Steve said, Bex picked up Pilates, but she must have put it down somewhere and forgot. Because she hasn't picked it up again. Here's the thing. Here's the thing that annoys me the most about going to the gym. I went once and I didn't get abs. In fact, frustratingly, what I understand about going to the gym and abs is that I have to commit. I have to show up day in and day out. I have to do it more than once. I have to put in the work. I have to actually show up. Faithfulness and abs require commitment. Commitment is about putting in the work. It's about showing up. Even when we don't feel like it, it's a deliberate action. Making a commitment means I'm keeping my word. I'm honoring what I say I'm going to do. I'm honoring my promises. James 5:12 says, let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. What are we making commitments to? And are we keeping our word? Are we making commitments to our kids and then backtracking? Are we making commitments to our spouse and then sticking to our word? Or are we making promises that we never intend on keeping? What commitments or promises have we made to God and then backtracked on? Are we holding up our end of the bargain? Like, how often do we say, God, if you do this, then I'll do this? Listen, any area of growth in your life is going to take commitment. Any area of growth. If you want to see growth in your marriage, well, it's going to take that you commit. You commit to putting in the work. You commit. It's going to be hard and you may not feel like it on some days. But if you want to see growth in that area, you're going to have to commit to seeing change take place. If you want to see growth in your career or your job or whatever, your business, whatever it is, you know you can't get there without the hard work of commitment. This is what it takes. If you want to see growth in your relationship with the Lord, You're going to have to commit. If you want to see a growth in your prayer life, in your faith, if you want to see growth in your ministry giftings, if you want to see growth in your relationship, your knowledge of God, it is going to take commitment. Commitment means putting in the work. It means I'm making a deliberate decision. It means I'm turning up even when I don't feel like it. But if we are going to see, if we are going to see this fruit of faithfulness grow in our life, then we must grow in the area of commitment. It takes conviction, it takes commitment, but the third and final layer of faithfulness is perseverance. Number three, it's perseverance. I want to share with you a story, and I've got permission to share this story, but it's of someone that I know very personally. And this man, many years ago, dated his high school sweetheart. But they separated for a few years, and in that time, she had a baby. But despite the years of separation, he knew that he still loved her and that he wanted to marry her. So he went to her one day and he proposed. He said, "Will you marry me?" She said, "No, not until you prove to me that you will also love my baby." And so for 6 months, he turned up at her house every day after work. He fed, bathed, changed, and put to bed her baby. 6 months, day in and day out, he showed up. He showed up and he fed, he cooked her dinner. He showed up and he bathed her. He showed up and he put her to bed every day for 6 months. After 6 months, he went back to her and he said, "Will you marry me now?" And of course she said yes. And they've been married for 45 years. There was a conviction and a commitment. But what allowed faithfulness to be proven over time was one ingredient. Do you know what that is? Time. Time. Faithfulness is a fruit that matures and proves itself over time. It matures over time when we do not give up. Here's the truth. Faithfulness cannot be called faithfulness if we have not done it for a long period of time. Otherwise, it's not faithfulness. At its very core, faithfulness can only be produced over time. You cannot say of someone on the first day of the job, "Thanks for being so faithful." Faithfulness is produced over time and over seasons. Winter, summer, autumn, spring, rain, hail, sunshine, the good, the bad, the ugly. Faithfulness reaches its full fruition when you see it still at work when all it really wants to do is give up. Faithfulness reaches its full fruition when you see it still at work when all it really wants to do is give up. I'm going to ask the band to come and join me now. Galatians 6, verse 9, "Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in." I want to take a moment now to actually honour a particular group of people in our church, because there are a number of people here in the room today in our church who have been here for 35 plus years. They have been part of our church since the pioneering days. Perhaps there's some of you in the room and you can remember the days of Howick Intermediate. Perhaps some of you are in the room today and you can remember the days when we first built this auditorium, and maybe you were part of coming in and writing on the walls, or maybe you remember the first few services or times that we came in and there was no carpet on the floors, or when the kids program used to come down here and run a race around in this place before it was, when it was just a shell. Perhaps you can remember the days of the pink bench seats that we used to have, or that when the mezzanine floor went in. For some of you, you've been here and you've been faithful for a very long time. You've been here and you are part of pioneering this place alongside Pastor Luke and Marilyn. What I want to say to you is thank you for being faithful. Thank you for starting with a conviction and continuing with a commitment, and then persevering, remaining in perseverance. Because I'm sure there were times along the way where it was like easy, it was fruitful, it felt fun and exciting. And then I'm sure that there were many times along the way where it's felt really difficult, and it's felt like an uphill battle, and it's felt hard, and you've wanted to give up. And there have been seasons where you have given, in seasons when it's been easy to give, and then there's been seasons when it's been hard to give, but you have remained faithful and you have continued to give. You have persevered through seasons of change and transition, and maybe that's not been easy for you, but you have remained faithful. And can you, church, join me please in just clapping and honoring every person in this room who's been here for 30 years plus, because they are a people who knows what it is to be faithful. There is strength in your faithfulness, and you bring that as a gift to us. There is fruit out of that faithfulness. 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Let me summarize today's thoughts through this statement. Faithfulness is believing, that's conviction, that God is who He says He is. And choosing, that's commitment, to continue perseverance in that belief despite the unpredictability of life. Faithfulness is believing that God is who He says He is, and choosing to continue in that belief despite the unpredictability of life. You know, one of the greatest examples, biblical examples of faithfulness, I believe, is Daniel. He had a conviction, and then he made a commitment, and then he persevered despite the fact that he faced lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a conviction, they made a commitment, and then they persevered even when they faced the fire. I think of Ruth. She had a conviction, she made a commitment, and then she persevered, and she showed faithfulness to her mother-in-law. Where you go, I will go. There's this holding on to faith through the hard and confusing times. And you know what? I've discovered that the only way we can have such faith is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I have looked at different people along the journey of life, and I have often looked at people who've gone through tremendous pain and tragedy over their life, and I've been in awe of the deep faith that they still carry. And I have marveled, and I've often thought to myself, and I don't know if you've asked this question as well, where I've often thought, how can they still believe? I know what it is now. It's the Holy Spirit. They've got a life with deep foundations connected to the Holy Spirit. We cannot forget that faithfulness is not just about conviction and commitment and perseverance. Faithfulness is about a connection. It's a fruit. It's a fruit of connection with the Holy Spirit. And that's what enables us to continue, is actually through the help and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me pray for us today. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, we thank you for turning our attention to this fruit today. And I know that there wouldn't be one person in this room who doesn't want to be faithful. We want to be faithful, Lord. We want to be faithful to our commitments. We want to be faithful in our marriages. We want to be faithful as parents. We want to be faithful in our workplaces. We want to be faithful in our relationships and our friendships. And God, we want to be faithful with the gifts that you've given us. We want to be faithful here in our church. We want to be faithful in our relationship with you. We want to be people of our word. But we need your help. Holy Spirit, would you help us? Would you enable us? Would you empower us to be people who are faithful? Help us to form our convictions based on your word, based on your truth. Help us to remain true to our commitments. Let us be people of integrity, of honor. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. Let us be people who are known for our integrity. Let us, help us to persevere when all we want to do is give up. Help us in difficult seasons, oh God, to be people who hold on to our faith. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us. Just please keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. You know, perhaps the greatest example of faithfulness of all time is Jesus himself. He had a conviction, and that conviction is his love for you. He made a commitment, and he persevered. Even death on a cross did not stop him. And if you are here today and you don't know Jesus, or maybe you were once what you'd call a Christian, and maybe you were close to him before, but you know that you've walked away in your life right now, you are far from God. I'm going to pray a prayer in a few moments' time, and I'm just inviting every single person in this room to be part of this moment online. I'm inviting all of you to be part of this moment as well. The truth is, God loves you, he made you, but we are all sinners. We mess up, we make mistakes, we sin. And now sin separates us from God. But in his mercy and grace, God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on a cross. And when he died on that cross, he took the debt that you and I were due for our sin, death, and he paid that debt in full. He paid it for you and he paid it for me. And he extends to each one of us today grace. He extends to you forgiveness for your past, offers you a hope for your future, and an eternity with him in heaven. And if today you are saying, Bex, I need God in my life, I want to start a journey with him. If you're saying, Bex, I don't know Jesus, but there is something right here, right now, that I know something's happening in my life, I would love to invite you to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to pray it out loud. You can pray it in your heart. We say, God, today I surrender my life to you. I know I've sinned, but I believe, Jesus, you died for me. I turn from my old life, and I turn to you now. Come in, be my Lord and my Savior. Make me brand new today. I choose from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.